This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, continuing our series of conversations with mayors across the state. Up to now, we've heard from Cherokee, Cumberland, and Pasquotank counties. And if you want to nominate a mayor for us to talk with, you can send us an email or tweet at us with the hashtag NCMayors. Today, we turn to a city whose mascot was taken from a mustard jar. The city sits along a historic Great Indian Trading Path, was the site of one of the first sit-ins in the Civil Rights Movement, and is now a place that has gained a reputation for diversity, great food, and high-tech businesses. In recent years, the city has welcomed more than 10 million visitors annually, and many of them stick around. I want to welcome the mayor of Durham, Steve Shule. Steve, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thank you very much, Frank. I really appreciate your having me.
Good to have you. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm okay. And I have to say I'm blessed to be better than so many of our neighbors. So thank you for joining us. I know you've said you plan to announce an extension to Durham's stay-at-home order. It will differ from the state's order in phase one. Can you give us some details now?
I can give you a little bit of detail. Thanks for asking. The governor has made it really clear that his order is the floor. His order covers our entire state. It's a state that's largely rural with some larger cities, and he has to account for all of that. And he's encouraged the cities to come up with their own stay-at-home orders that can be more restrictive than his, to account for the density of cities. And we've done that with our own local stay-at-home orders. We are going to extend our local stay-at-home order. Myself and Commissioner Wendy Jacobs, we have issued a joint order the last couple of times, so that's try to reduce confusion. And we're working on that now, what our local order will be. It will be much simpler than it has been. It will include the governor's order, and it will have a few additional restrictions. One of them will be that we'll continue to require the wearing of face coverings when people are not able to socially distance.
All right. Now, and maybe you answered this parenthetically in your last answer, but I want to maybe underscore that and ask you if there's more to it. You mentioned density is one of the reasons that you felt that Durham should have a stricter order than the statewide order. Is there anything else?
Well, the cities are in very different situations than a lot of our rural counties, which have just a lot of them have a very few people and a very few cases. We're not in that situation. It's not going to be long before Durham's at 1,000 cases. We have had 36 deaths. We're doing very well with our community spread. We have a very low level of community spread, and that's because our residents have really taken to heart the idea of social distancing, of sanitation, of wearing face coverings. When you go out in Durham now, you go to the store, the vast majority of people are wearing face coverings, and so all that's really working. So I'd say that the orders are important, but they're not the main thing. The main thing is the willingness and the commitment of the community to keep ourselves safe.
What about on the other side of that? It's interesting if you think about sort of the converse of that, which is those places, rural areas with lower density, saying we have responsible citizens here. We don't even feel we need to honor the mayor's, the governor's restrictions. We should be able to have that kind of latitude on that end of the spectrum. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm glad that we have not experienced the kind of protest, especially the kind of armed protest that they've seen in Raleigh, and the kind of defiance of what I think are very sensible orders that the governor has issued about social distancing and staying at home when it's not essential to go out. And so when I see that, I think that people aren't really taking the best interests of our community at heart. I completely get that we really do need to reopen our businesses and our institutions and our places of worship. And that's got to happen, but it's got to happen safely. And it can happen safely. And we all need to work together to do that.
Well, let me just push you a little bit on that. You talked about Raleigh, but let's get out to some of the rural areas or some of the more rural states, states like Georgia that have opened up. And what they're saying, you know, and this, when they take a look at some of the national restrictions, they say, look, we know what's going on in our community. We are taking into account the safety of our community, but we think the rules are a little different here because our situation is different here. What do you say to them when they want to not honor national or, in the case of some counties here, statewide mandates?
Well, I think that they're very different situations. When I think about Georgia, I think, you know, Georgia has a huge city, Atlanta, and other large cities, and I think that kind of wholesale opening up without taking health considerations health concerns into very strong considerations is the wrong way to go. I think it needs to be gradual. I think it needs to be very well thought out. And I think it needs to be led by the business and industry sectors that are opening up, the places of worship that are opening up, so they can figure out best practices. You know, in terms of rural people or anyone else's, you know, being defiant, you know, I get that. I've been civilly disobedient in my own life in the civil rights and anti-war movements. I get that. But I do think that the orders that the governor's promulgated have been very sensible ones.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your history with activism. It's interesting that you point that out and direct action protest. You know, you were involved in protests against the Durham Freeway, urban renewal, other civil rights protests. You founded the Indy Weekly. It's been sold since, but the alternative weekly newspaper. Now you're local leader. You are the authority. You're the man that you were protesting against many years ago. What's your relationship now, and how do you feel about being in that position now vis-a-vis these kinds of protests that we're seeing elsewhere?
Yeah, well, you know, this is, I'll just tell you, an exceptionally difficult time to be mayor. We have several other living mayors of Durham, former living mayors, and I sent an email to Sylvia Kirkhoff and Bill Bell and Nick Tennyson and Whip Gully, and I said to them, hey, any of you guys want to take over being mayor for a couple of months?
Yeah.
Right now? And I can tell you, Frank, I had no takers.
No takers.
I got a lot of funny responses, but no takers.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a difficult time right now. One of the things that's difficult is that the decisions that I'm having to make, normally I don't have executive authority. I'm one of seven council members. I'm the leader of the council because I've been elected by the people to be so. But I don't have to make executive decisions. But now at this extraordinary time with these emergency powers, I'm making decisions that are very hard to make under a lot of time constraint. I seek the best advice that I can, wonderful public health folks at the state and local level, but it's still hard to make these decisions. And I know that not all the decisions are right. I know that, you know, some of the times I'm making mistakes, and I'm doing my best, working with other partners to try to do it right, but it's very humbling. Because it is, I know that not all my decisions are right, even though I'm doing the very best that I can. And so that makes it exceptionally hard, I think, right now to be mayor. I've been in public office, I think, almost 13 years now, and this is so extraordinary this time. And I'm just trying to do my best.
Well, let's talk about some of those decisions. As you say, they're difficult to make, and in hindsight, you may have a different judgment about them. But I know that some local small business leaders are asking the city to issue emergency grants. Raleigh was able to do that fairly quickly, and Durham apparently has not done the same yet, if I'm not mistaken. Why not?
Yeah, we're going to be rolling out funds for our small businesses. I believe that we will be, and I am insistent that that be happening in June. I think that our staff has done a good job in really trying to be thoughtful about what to do. We're working with Duke University. Duke has a fund for small businesses, and it's attracted other corporate donors as well. There will be city money in it. The CARES Act has now funded Durham County with about $5.5 million, and we're hoping that some of that money can also be contributed to the small business fund. And so we're planning to do that. And I completely understand why people are anxious and want this to happen as quickly as possible. And so we need to make it happen, and we will. The other thing I want to say about it is we really want our lane to be, especially for those businesses which are particularly disadvantaged, historically disadvantaged, our African-American businesses, our immigrant-owned businesses, because a lot of them have not been able to access any of the other programs, such as the federal PPP program. They've been unable to do that for various reasons, and we want to make sure that those small businesses are particularly supported.
Let's talk about the another movement that's reached Durham, the Can't Pay, Won't Pay movement. What can the city do to help renters and homeowners who are facing eviction or foreclosure because of the pandemic?
We can do a lot. We already have, as you probably know, Frank, we already have had, I think, an extraordinary program where we support our legal aid office here, $500,000 a year to hire 6 attorneys and 2 paralegals to help represent people in eviction court. And I think that's an extraordinary municipal commitment, and I'm really proud of it. But now we're doing that in concert with Durham County, which has eviction diversion funds, which through social services that they work with our folks in legal aid to try to keep people in their home. They're having a lot of success. But now we got to do more. And I know that the city will be committing additional funds for helping people avoid evictions. It won't do the whole job because there are just so many people who are in this situation, but we can help more for sure.
Well, so many people in this situation now, and of course, affordable housing was the core issue of your 2019 campaign already. Have you had to recalibrate your housing policy goals over the past couple of months?
Everything's been recalibrated. You know that as well as I. Just was listening to your other interviews that, all that you've been having, we all know that this is happening. So we have a lot of things in the affordable housing pipeline that are going to be continuing. Right downtown, there's affordable housing going up right now, right next to the bus station. It's being constructed. We have a lot of other things that are happening. But our affordable housing bond, which passed with 76% of the voter support in November, we're going to have to delay the tax increase that comes with that. The voters supported a tax increase to support that bond. We don't want to have a tax increase in Durham this year. We really know that our folks can't afford that this year. And so we're going to have to put off that tax increase that will support the bond. This will not stop all the planning that will go into that affordable housing work. We will still be able to keep on schedule with our affordable housing spending, but we're going to have to issue the bonds a little bit later than we would have ideally liked.
Steve, Moody Analytics put out some promising research, and it looks like Durham could be at the top tier of cities rebounding quickly from the crisis. I wonder what metrics that you're keeping your eye on during this recovery.
Well, we've just established the Durham Recovery and Renewal Task Force. 15 of our residents will be on this task force, and they're going to look real hard at those metrics. And I think for the short term, in order for us to recover, we have to do a couple different things. We have to really make sure that we have locally all the testing, all the tracing, all of the personal protective equipment, all the face coverings, all of those things that we need as we reopen. Because as we reopen, there'll be an even greater need for the personal protective equipment, for example, and the face coverings. At the same time that we watch those trends and make sure that we have that, we got to help our businesses reopen. And the metrics, I think, are going to be determined by those business sectors themselves. So the governor has preempted our local stay-at-home order in one regard, and that is in the area of retail. And so we're under the governor's retail order now, which allows for 50% occupancy at any retail store. And so we have to hope, and I know that they will, that our retail businesses will work really hard to have the right kind of standards to stay safe. I was really impressed. I heard recently from Pat Anderson, the manager of South Point, which, of course, is a huge employer and a big commercial hub, about the safety precautions that they're taking as they gradually reopen. I was really impressed with that. And so our our recovery task force is going to have roundtables with all the different business groupings for retail, for restaurants, for hair salons, for the larger venues, and so that each of those groups can work together to figure out how they can safely reopen over time.
You know, Steve, we started doing the show out of here just we were one of the first tenants in American Tobacco when it reopened. Main Street had not yet reopened in Durham. Nothing had come back to life yet when I moved here. And it's looking a bit like that now. And I wonder what it is you miss most about Durham through all of this.
Gosh, I miss so much. One of my favorite moments of the year is one of the best things about being mayor is I get to throw out the first pitch at the Bulls home opener. Okay, I threw it into the dirt my first year, but I threw a strike last year, Frank, and I really, it was a very slow strike, but it went over the plate. And, you know, I miss that. I miss the Bulls. I miss the D-Pack. I really miss the restaurants. I love Durham's restaurants so much, and we really need to help them recover. I miss the wonderful life on our streets. Just what you're saying about American Tobacco, you know, at American Tobacco Campus or just walking down Main Street. I miss that a lot. I miss giving people hugs that I love. You know, I'm lucky because I'm not isolated. I'm here with my wife, and we're able to hang out with friends, socially distanced, that kind of thing. But the close personal contact, which I love, is hard. And I know how isolated some people are and how tough it is on so many people. And it's a really hard time.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you for having me, Frank, and good luck to you. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too. Steve Shule is the mayor of Durham.